sit up here. I really love that song. I told Chris it's going to be a duet. I meant to be sitting back here for our duet, but I was standing back there because I need a drink of water. But anytime someone sings a solo in this church, it's always a duet because I always sing along with them, whether they want me to or not. But I do love that song, though, and that's a big statement when you say all I need is you. You know, that's a mouthful. And as that song goes, all I really need is your grace. All I need to know is that you are near me. All I need is you. All I really need is your grace. All I need to know is that you are for me. All I need is you. And, you know, I would say that that song is almost an exaggeration, but depends on who the you is. Because if I'm saying that to my girlfriend, you know, it probably isn't true, especially since I'm married, so that really wouldn't go over well. But, you know what I'm saying. If I say that to my wife or if Chris sings that to his girlfriend, you know, that might be a bit of an overstatement to say, you know, I don't need anybody else, anything else. All I need is you. But the you know, that pronoun, who that is talking about is what makes all the difference. And actually that song is true, that all I need is you. And so I want to talk a little bit about who that you is tonight that was in that song. And the title of the message tonight is Simple Obedience. And it was going to be the message this morning, but there was a slight change in our program, so we moved it to tonight. So we'll be picking up on the book of Acts when we get back from India here in a few weeks, but we're going to pick up tonight on Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 23 through 25. And this actually goes along, I think, pretty well with what we talked about last Sunday night in the book of Acts about just simple obedience, and that's kind of how the message concluded last week. But I think there's more to be said on this topic. And so, if you will, stand and honor God's Word, and we'll read this together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Now, here's another big overstatement, it seems like. It's kind of like the song that Chris just sang, but listen to what it says in verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. That's the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for this day, for this time together. We want to pray, Lord, now for the just your blessing, God, upon your word as it's been read. I pray, Lord, that we would just hear your word tonight, Father, with receptive hearts. And God, you would speak to our heart, that you would make it so clear what it is you'd have us to do in our lives. And that, Lord, it would just be clear and simple, Lord, the direction that you're leading us. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be disobedient, God, to what you revealed to us and what you showed us. But that, God, we would seek to be obedient to your word, God, in all things. Knowing, God, that you have the full control, that, God, you are the master designer and planner of this thing. And, Lord, we're just a part of it. And, God, help us, Lord, to play our part the best way possible, as best we can, Lord, to never let you down and never fail, God, in what you've called us to do. And so we want to pray for that blessing now, Lord, and help us, God, challenge us, Lord, tonight, Father, to just do what we can, Father, for your kingdom and through your and for your name. And we just pray that you would work through each one of us, God, and strengthen us, God, for the work that you've called us to. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Can anybody hear me okay? Is that picking up? Is that okay? It's not picking up very well? Okay. I'll see if Stephen can adjust it. There we go. Is that better? Okay. All right. Before we get, I guess, into our text here that we're looking at tonight, I watched a program this past week on nuclear weapons. If you know much about me, you know that I'm a pretty big nerd when it comes to documentaries, and I enjoy staying up late at night and watching them. My sleep schedule on Janice is off by about 2 hours both ways. I go to bed 2 hours. I fall asleep 2 hours after she does, and she wakes up 2 hours before me. So it works out pretty well. When she falls asleep, usually I'll find a documentary or something to watch. And I was watching a program about nuclear weapons. And they're talking about a hydrogen bomb. They're talking about atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs. And it's amazing, as I was watching that, you know, just the amount of power that's harnessed in an atomic bomb. And, you know, as I think about that and the way that they measure the size and the magnitude of an atomic weapon is based in tons of TNT. Okay? Now, go to the next slide if you don't care, Julie. And this is a picture, you probably recognize this photograph from one like it. This is at Nagasaki. This was a bomb that was dropped at the end of World War II. And this was bigger. There was one bomb dropped at Hiroshima and one dropped at Nagasaki. Well, this was the bigger of the two. I think the one at Hiroshima was about, it was the equivalent. And the bomb was not very large. You've probably seen pictures of it. It's like maybe about the size of a car almost, or maybe a little bit bigger. But the one dropped at Hiroshima was the equivalent of 16,000 tons of TNT. This one at Nagasaki was the equivalent of 21,000 tons of TNT. I want you to imagine what that would... I mean, that's like... I can't even imagine how large that would be. I mean, that's the size of a large building constructed solely out of TNT, out of dynamite, okay? And that was the only two times that nuclear weaponry has ever been used in war. Now, after that happened, there was some more technology that was developed. The atomic bomb, this is a bomb that's where it involves uranium, okay? And this uranium, what happens is, as neutrons hit it, it splits it. Either the uranium or plutonium, it's big, big atoms, and they split them. It's called fission. It's a fission bomb. That's what an atomic bomb is. It would split these massive atoms. That's what caused that explosion, is that release of energy. You take a huge uranium atom, I think the atomic number is 92, so you have 92 protons in there, and close to that many neutrons. As you have that nucleus and it splits in half, there's a huge release of energy. And that's what gives the power to an atomic bomb, to a fission bomb, okay? That was the first technology they developed. Those bombs are completely obsolete today. What they have today is called hydrogen bombs or fusion bombs. And the way this works is it has a small fission bomb. So they still use uranium or plutonium or some big element. They have a small fission bomb at the front of this thing. But at the back, they had this huge container of hydrogen. Usually it's like tritium or deuterium or some heavy water. So there's a ton of hydrogen. That's the fuel for this bomb. This is one, they've never used this in war before, but it's been tested. We have them, the Russians have them, many other countries have these. And this is what it looks like, if you don't care to go to the next picture. This is called Castle Romeo. This is one that was detonated in the Pacific Ocean as they were testing these things out. This gives you the magnitude of the size difference between an atomic bomb. Think of the destruction. At Nagasaki and Hiroshima, 200,000 people were killed by those two bombs. That's an enormous number of people just for two strikes. Okay, that was a 21,000 ton atomic bomb. The other was a 16,000 ton atomic bomb. Castle Romeo, this was a 15 megaton bomb. It is the equivalent of 15 million tons of TNT. Okay? 15 megatons. They did a calculation on it. They thought it was going to be 5 megatons, and it was bigger than they thought it was, and it kind of messing things up. Whenever everybody's sitting there watching it, and their ship about got blown over, and there was guys standing close by, or not close by, but closer than it should have been for that yield. But it's an enormous, I can't even imagine. And not only is it that enormous, but it's an enormous fireball is what it is. Okay? That is what a hydrogen bomb, that's the power that it harnesses. And actually, the Russians came up with an even... That was 15 megatons. That's the largest hydrogen bomb the United States has ever detonated. Okay? The Russians did one better. They detonated a 50 megaton hydrogen bomb. That was 50 million tons. Not 50 million pounds. 50 million tons. A ton is 2,000 pounds. 50 million 2,000 pound increments. 50 million. That's how large. It was called the Tsar bomb or the King bomb. It was going to be 100 megatons. It was going to be twice that big. And the guy who engineered it at the last minute, he thought, man, that who knows what that could do? The fallout from that, all everything else. So he shrunk it. He cut the yield in half. All he did was add more fuel. And he would have had 100 megatons, 100 million tons of TNT. That is what... With modernism and the nuclear age, we have the ability to completely destroy ourselves. That's the point of that. If you drop that 50 megaton bomb on Washington, D.C., it is completely obliterated. That, the entire surrounding area is gone. It's a crater. And there's radiation poisoning for miles and miles and miles, tens of miles beyond that. And so that, as I think about that, the size of that, the magnitude of that, and how that our... This technology, we have become so smart, we're now capable of destroying ourselves. That's why the Russians, that's why Gorbachev said, disarm us, get rid of them. These things are, this is going to do no one any good to have these things. And America wasn't exactly on board with that. So there's, you know, those things are out there. Now, I'm like a little kid, okay? So I want you to imagine this, these megaton, 15 megatons, 50, 100 megaton bombs. Imagine a million of those things all put together. Imagine, I can imagine in my mind an explosion that's a billion or 10 billion of these enormous bombs. You think about that, it's like, well, that's, you know, that sounds like something Nate would say. Like, what about a million, trillion, gajillion? You know, that's the way my brain works too, even though I'm 32 years old. I always imagine bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you guys want to see what a 10 billion, what if you were to take 10 billion hydrogen bombs and detonate them all at one time, you want to see what it looks like? Go to the next slide. That's it. And the parallel is exact. The sun, and this comes to mind this week too because of the eclipse that we had this week. I'm thinking about the sun, so I watched a program on the sun. It's interesting, that program, they also equated the core of the sun to what it would be like as far as power. And it is the equivalent of greater than 10 billion, with a B, 10 billion hydrogen bombs being detonated simultaneously. And, click it one more time, that's every second. That's 10 billion hydrogen bombs. 10 billion hydrogen bombs. That's actually slow. Every second. That is in the core of the sun. That's 92 million miles away. That is what fuels our solar system. Did you know, if you're against nuclear power, did you know that our solar system is powered by nuclear power? By fusion, and it's a fusion reactor. That's exactly what it is. It's a fusion reactor that hangs 92 million miles away that powers our entire solar system. And let me tell you what scientists today are trying to harness, because you see that fission busting up big atoms, it gives you some power. That's what all of our nuclear energy, our nuclear power plants are fission reactions. Okay, where I work at, they use fission. We have uranium cylinders they put in, and they have fission. They're trying their best to develop fusion energy, an enormous amount of energy, but it's very, very hard to do. Our government, other governments are spending billions of dollars to develop a fusion reactor. Okay? And you know what they're finding out? It's very hard to build a fusion reactor. It's a very simple thing. It's two hydrogen atoms, two protons that come together into a helium atom. That's all it is. But when those two atoms come together, it's an enormous release of energy. Okay? Fusion, the yield on fusion is, for a fusion bomb, is 1,000 times larger than an atomic bomb. Okay? You're talking about, I mean, over 1,000 times the amount of energy per reaction. What our government's finding out is it's hard to build one of those. Guess what else? Fusion reactors don't make themselves. You understand the implication of that? Someone designed our fusion reactor that powers our solar system.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. You say, well, it's a natural phenomenon. Oh, really? That explosive power coming out, why doesn't it blow apart? I mean, it is being contained in the core. The sun is a million times the size of Earth, and you have this core, this incredibly dense, hot, explosive core that's exploding all the time, but it doesn't blow apart. You know why? Because it's a million times larger than the Earth. You have gravity. And that gravity is just enough to hold it together, but not too much to collapse it in on itself. And that explosion is just enough to keep it going out, to keep it from exploding in on itself, but not too much to explode out. I've not found the figure on this, but the balance between gravity and that explosive force, it has to be insanely precise to keep that occurring the way that it is every second. Every second, 10 billion fusion bombs or hydrogen bombs being detonated. Folks, that is the design of our universe. That's the design just of our solar system. Okay? Now, what in the world does that have to do with Colossians chapter 3? Okay? as you think about that, I want you to imagine that as you look at the sun, remember that, okay? When you see every star in the sky, remember, it's a fusion reactor. Every star that you see, every star that you see burning in the night sky. I say all of that to say this. That's our God. That's His design. That's just a little bitty tiny part of His design. Okay? I want to say this before we go any further. I thank God for Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I thank God for Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and for the simplicity of it. You know, God could have gone into detail. God could have gone into detail about His creation. And He could have made it to where only physicists and mathematicians and engineers and geneticists, where only they could have understood it. Or where no one could understand it. Okay? God, if He had so chosen, He could have written a book in such a way that no one could have understood creation at all. And so when some scientist reads the first two chapters of Genesis and they smirk at the simplicity of it, folks, I take offense to that. Because that simplicity is for them. And for me. And for children that God wants to communicate the message of creation to. He could have made it complicated. But He didn't. He made it simple to where even a child can understand it, to where even I can understand it. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not an engineer. If He had written at that level, it would have been totally inaccessible for me. But folks, He wrote it at a level where we can understand it. There's a purpose in why God does what He does. But that is the power of God. That is the knowledge of our God. It is infinite. His knowledge is infinite. His power is infinite. Now, I want to read Colossians 3, 23 through 25 again. Listen close to this. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto who? The Lord. Who's the Lord? He is the infinitely powerful, the infinitely knowledgeable, the infinitely gracious, the infinitely holy God. When you do something, when you do anything, do it as unto Him. Once you understand some little glimpse of who He is, that changes how you do things. I mean, this is God. When we read those words, the Lord is Christmas singing, all I really need is you. Yeah, that's all I need is Him. We're not talking about just another person. We're talking about God. The one who speaks stars into existence. The one who understands solar physics more than anybody could ever understand it. He developed it. He designed it. It was His idea. That's the God we're talking about. So whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. Put your heart into it. As to the Lord and not unto men. You've never done anything for a man since you've been a Christian. You're doing it for the Lord. Okay? It supersedes everything. Yeah, you turn in your reports to your boss. You turn in your reports to your teacher. You know, you do things like that. You know, you pay your bills. But folks, you've never done it for the Lord because the Lord supersedes whatever you do for another person. God supersedes it when you're a Christian. And He tells us to do this and to do it with knowledge. Listen to verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong, this is the contrast of it. And folks, when we serve Him, there's only one way to serve God. That's with your whole heart. That's what it means, heartily. Throw your heart into it. Throw your whole being into it. That's the only way to serve God. Folks, serve Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your heart. But the second side of that is this. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. At the same time, God is not to be trifled with.
Amen.
Don't you dare trifle with God. When you do good, do it with your whole heart. Do good and do it with your whole heart. And don't even dream of doing wrong. Because God condemns this. God will judge this. And He's not someone to be trifled with. That's what we're talking about. When we read Colossians 3, 23 through 25, folks, that's a good life verse. If you want a life verse, you want to put on your email, put that right there on your email. Think about that every day. The only thing that's simple or basic about our God is what He requires of you and I. And that's simple obedience. Folks, I want to say this tonight. I care deeply about what God thinks. I care about that. I care about how God looks at my life. I am so grateful to sit here this morning and to hear you guys and to hear the appreciation. That is so important. But I care, and I don't say this to downplay how much I care about you guys at all, but I care infinitely more about what God says about Jordan. What does He think? Because folks, I mean, He has a high standard. Amen. He's God. And folks, I care about what He thinks. And folks, He knows me. Justin shared this morning, He knows me much better than anybody else here knows me. He knows the side that you can't see. He knows the side that I'm fighting against all the time, a flesh that I'm warring against. He's seen that for 32 years. He looks right through me. He sees me. He sees me. I'm so transparent before God, it's not even funny how clearly God sees me. And I care what He thinks about me. I care how He sees me. We should all care how He sees us. And folks, what He says is important. What He says is important is important. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sets the scale of what matters and what doesn't. I can tell you this, to God, nuclear physics, solar physics, doesn't really matter. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, there was a huge race in the 20th century to get this technology. It's a technology that can save the world with energy crisis, or it can destroy the world through bombs. I mean, it's a big deal, right? Well, God doesn't reveal that in His Word, does He? He reveals a lot more than that. He reveals a lot of other things. And what God says, what He ranks as important, is important. He did not reveal through His Word to me solar physics. Here's what He revealed to me: to do all things as unto Him and not as unto men. He revealed this. This is the revelation from God. The God who created the universe revealed this to me. Jordan, I want you to love me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, that's simple. I understand that's simple. If that's been quoted one time in the church, it's been quoted 10,000 times. And that's fine. Because folks, is it being done? That's the question. He's revealed to me this. He actually became incarnate. God took on humanity in the person of Jesus Christ to come to this earth to reveal this message. It's very simple. Ye must be born again. Amen. That's what He told Nicodemus in John 3. As He came to him by night, He told him, ye must be born again. And He didn't just tell Nicodemus that. Through the pen of John, He told the world that. You have to be born again. That's more important than anything. If you miss that, it doesn't matter what you get. He revealed to us how to fulfill the law of Christ. Listen to what it says over in Galatians chapter 6. This is how to fulfill the law of Christ. This is a big deal to God. Listen to what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen close. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's very simple, isn't it? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you see someone overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Those are very simple words. What that means is this: when someone has a problem, when someone has fallen into sin, they've fallen into a fault, when they've created a mess of their life, every inclination is to run away from a mess. We've talked about this before. Every inclination, when I see a person's life and it's a huge mess, every inclination is to run the other direction. This is the law of Christ. God is speaking to my soul and saying, Jordan, deny that desire. And you run to that person. Amen. It's that simple. Your nature is to run that way. But I'm calling you to fulfill the law of Christ and run that way. Amen. Do you know why that's the law of Christ? Because that's what He did. There's humanity. sinful, broken, fallen, condemned, and rightly so. Which way did he go? Did he run away? Or did he run right into humanity to save me and you? He ran into the burning building. I mean, that's really what Christ did. He saw us burning in that building. We set the fire. We're the cause of it. But he ran in anyway to help us. And folks, we didn't even want him to come. But he came anyway at enormous cost to himself. At enormous cost to God who gave up his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I'm going to run into this mess. God said, Son, run into that mess and help them. That's the law of Christ. That's what we're being called to fulfill. To bear one another's burdens. Jesus had no burdens, but I did. Jesus had no sins, but I did. And he took my sins upon himself. He took my burdens upon himself. That's why he said, come and learn of me. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I had an incredible burden of sin. Jesus had no burden. Do you know what he said? He came to me and said, Jordan, let's trade. You take mine and I'll take yours. You can't bear yours, but you can bear mine. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. There was a trade that took place. That's what when he told his disciples, folks, that's what he was telling them. We're going to make a trade here, guys. I'm going to take all the burdens on me, all the sins on me, and I'm going to give you my burden, which is light. That's the law of Christ. And folks, the reason I mention that, I know you're probably saying, Jordan, you've said this so many times before. I'm going to keep repeating it. Because if you miss that, you will miss everything. It doesn't matter what you get if you miss that. Paul said that. Bill referred to a chapter this morning that's famous for ceremonies. What chapter was that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is it that Paul says? He said that if I could speak, I meant to paraphrase a little bit, if I could speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I'm nothing. He said, if I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and all faith so that I can move mountains and have not charity, have not love, I'm nothing. He says this, if I sell all of my goods and give to the poor, and I go and I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me, how much? Nothing. That's so enormous. You can waste your entire life by not understanding what I'm talking about tonight.
Right.
Waste the whole thing. Every sacrifice, every dollar given, every minute spent, waste the whole thing by not having love, by not fulfilling the law of Christ. That's why it's essential. That's why it's worth repeating. That's why we can't miss it. It's simple, but we cannot miss it. That's the law of Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. I like the book of Proverbs. It's another very simple book. It's very practical. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. And also Proverbs 22:9. Listen to this. This is so simple. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in thy power, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You know what? Let me give you the translation of that. If you can help someone, help them.
Amen.
I mean, when I say that, the title of this passage is simple obedience. Is it any more simple than that? If you're able to help somebody, help them. That's not complicated. That's not hard to understand. Sadie, 3 years old. A three-year-old can really understand that. If you can help somebody, help them. Listen to this next verse. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. That's very simple, isn't it? Somebody's poor. That's a fulfillment. Or that's another way of stating Proverbs 3:27-28. If you have bread and someone else doesn't have bread, you have an abundance of bread and they don't have any, give to them. The end. That's it. That's what we're called to do. It's not complicated. The reason I choose that scripture, that's the scripture that if you look at this this pamphlet about the ministry in India, that's the scripture that's referenced there. It says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." It's that simple. Folks, many times, I love studying theology. I love studying eschatology to end times. I've loved Revelation, every second of Revelation study. I love these things. But folks, sometimes we get so wrapped up in the complicated things on who's Babylon? You know, who's the great whore? What's the mark of the beast? Folks, if you understand all of that, that's what Paul said. If you understood that, if you could explain every detail of that, and you don't give to the poor and help somebody in need, you have failed miserably.
Yeah.
Utterly.
Amen.
You've missed everything. This doesn't even matter anymore. If you miss this, that's what Paul said when he said, if I can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and all faith so that I can heal people and do miracles, but you left this undone, you're nothing. How much more clear could that be?
Yeah.
Folks, I want to understand the mysteries, but God, don't let me neglect to help my brother, to help him.
Amen.
If I go, it's a huge sacrifice, right, to go to India, to spend the money, to take the time, take the vacation time. If I go to India on Thursday to share the gospel, to encourage pastors, to encourage children, to encourage the workers, to see the lepers, to encourage them, to share the gospel, and I don't witness the people, 10 people between now and Thursday, what am I doing? That's what God looks at me and says, as I'm sitting here this morning, Jordan, what are you doing? You missed everything. If I don't encourage someone at dinner this afternoon, I missed everything. That's what it's about. That's what being a Christian is about. You take every opportunity, every one. You're constantly looking for opportunities. Folks, the majority of ministries that we support, they found us. And that I'm not trying to get, become a mystic or something like that, but these ministries, most of them, found this church. And that means something to me. Because that was somebody that, here's my path, okay? Their path crossed my path, and there was a need. And guess what? I need to give. I need to help.
Amen.
Most of the people in my life that I'm working with, I can't help everybody. Man, I wish I could help everybody. I wish I was Bill Gates. I wish I had billions of dollars. I'd give it all away. But folks, if I don't give away $50 to somebody who needs it, if I'm going to sit there with $50 and say, they may be ripping me off. They may not be sincere. Are you kidding me? You have it. It's in my hand. Just put it in their hand. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Just give to them. You've got it. Give it to them. Help them. Folks, I'm going to get to this. I used to think that a Christian was supposed to be pretty savvy. You know, wise as serpents, gentle as doves. That's the way I thought of things. You know, upon further reading, God has not called me to be savvy. Let me read this verse. Go to the next passage of Scripture. Listen to this. Ye have heard that it hath been said. This is Jesus speaking to the multitudes in the Beatitudes as we know them. Matthew chapter 5. Out on a hillside, He's teaching thousands of people this. Listen to this. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take thy coat, give him your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee. Do you mean to translate that for you? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Does that sound like savviness to you? Does that sound like somebody that's really discerning of people where they're like, well, if I'm not sure, I'm not helping. Is that what that sounds like to you? It doesn't to me.
Amen.
Do you know how I would describe that? I would describe that as desperate sacrifice. Let me tell you how I would describe that. We're going to get ready to get a song here in just a minute.
I would describe it like this. Do anything. Do everything. Do anything you can. Go. Go to India. Go across the street. Go to your coworker. Go to your family. Go to your friends. Go to your classmates. Go to everybody and tell them the truth. And do everything you can to get them to receive it. Study that you can tell them better. Study that you can tell them more precisely. Do everything you can. And you know what? You think that a word like that would be a burden? It's not a burden.
Amen.
It's a huge relief. Do you know why? Because there's something in here that wants to do that. There's something in here that bears witness with that word that I want to do that. But there's a flesh that says, Jordan, don't be so naive. Jordan, you know, look at this person. Can you trust this person? I thank God He gives me His Word and says, Jordan, I don't care if you can trust them. You help them. Who do you help? Everybody. And as God's Word is saying, that's my heart. His Spirit is bearing witness. And that flesh has overcome to say, you know what? My flesh isn't smart enough to discern that. I'm going to help everybody God puts in my path. If it's in my hand to do so, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help the people that God sends my way. That's what we're called to do. That is fulfilling the law of Christ. As the singers come to get a song ready, folks, I can say this, and maybe as I'm saying that, you're saying, man, I don't know about that. Let me put it to you another way. If you're not sure about a situation, if you're not sure about an individual, if you're not sure about a person, let me say this. And it's amazing what the God's Spirit will reveal to you, by the way. God, there's something about God that He'll help tell you what you need to do. You just need to act upon it when He does it. But I want to say this. If you're not sure about helping somebody, if there's some uncertainty, let me just say this. Err on the side of grace. Just go ahead and fall right over to the side of mercy and grace. And if you're not sure, help them. If you think this person might be scamming me, help them. If you're not sure, help them. I guarantee you God will honor that desire. You know what I found out? I reach my pocket to help somebody. And I help them. And they go along their way. I go back to my pocket again. Guess what? It's there again. And it's there again. And it's there again. And you know, I figured something out. I didn't come up with this. Somebody gave this to me. And it's God. And it keeps filling my pocket. I mean, Jen and I have not requested one cent to go to India. I think we might have more money this time than we had last time. They said, take this to someone in India. I shook hands with a guy yesterday. Hand me $200. Go to India with it. I didn't ask for that. God just keeps filling it in. This is not a prosperity garbage message. It's the exact opposite end of the spectrum, folks. Folks, this is a message about generosity. Because that God, who's so brilliant, who's infinitely powerful and infinitely wise, you know what I found out? He's infinitely generous to Jordan. He just shovels things on Jordan. I can't believe it. If you know me times, I came in my dad and shook my head and just said, man, what do I know? What do I know? Folks, one time I was able to help somebody. I'm sharing this not because this is how much I doubt. I'm like Thomas, okay? One Christmas, money was a little bit tight for me and Janet. We're one income. God's blessed us tremendously, but we're one income. We were trying to help somebody out for Christmas, and it turned out we were able to help somebody on a Saturday. On Sunday, somebody showed up at this church. They needed some more help. It was tight the first time. Second time, we debated about it. Folks, we debated about it. This isn't glorifying me. Why am I debating? I didn't know what I'm telling you tonight. We debated about it. We said, okay, we're going to do it. So we went and we bought presents, gave it to the person. The next day at work, this is not prosperity garbage.
This is the truth. The next day at work, I sat at my desk. They said, Jordan, here you go. Hand me an envelope. It's $1,000 bonus from work. I never got a bonus from work. Tears ran down my face. I had to get on by myself for a second. I told my friends, I said, you know, you can't outgive God. That's true. Where did that come from? That had to be put in for 3 months before. You don't just put in for that and get it. It had been put in 3 months before, and God had launched that missile into my life, and I walked out, and it was the day after we were able to help somebody. Where did I get that money to help them with? God gave it to me. It's not glorifying Jordan. It's glorifying Him. The next day, it landed right in my lap. He's infinitely generous. He's infinitely gracious. Folks, I'm telling you, He'll take care of it. You be gracious, you be merciful. He'll take care of it. He's taking care of me. He has and He still will. Folks, it's simple. It's simple obedience. It's not easy. Folks, I got a sinful flesh that I have to overcome and deny all the time. It's not easy, but it's simple. God has made it so simple and clear. Folks, and by God's grace and power, I intend to do the best that I can. And folks, I struggle. I fail all the time. The greatest thing I heard today was when Tori said, she said, I know that me and Brady are not perfect, but God will help us to do this because Janet and Jordan aren't perfect either. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, because that's the truth. We're not perfect either. We fail. We make mistakes every day. And folks, I can't say that I'm going to do perfect, but I can do this the best I can. That's what God is. Hey, when God says throw your heart into it, that doesn't mean do it perfect. It means do your best. And I intend to do my best. By God's strength, by God's power, folks, it's not easy. But what does Philippians 4:13 say? I bet you Brady knows. What's Philippians 4:13, Brady? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Brady, I bet you Brady's probably learned that applies to the football field, but it goes way beyond that. Folks, it's not easy to deny yourself, and I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He knows about self-denial. He went to a cross. He knows how to self-deny. If I'll ask Him, He'll help me. And folks, when you're denying yourself, you're denying your flesh. You're giving in to your spirit. Folks, I can't tell you, when you give in that spirit, you're not denying anything. You are just reaping and reaping and reaping and reaping. There is no self-denial. That's the joke of it. There is no self-denial because you get everything. You lose your life, and folks, you gain it. If you try to gain it, though, you lose it. That's the paradigm. That's the mystery of Jesus Christ. Folks, we can do all things through Christ's grace. We stand in eyes, we sing. Folks, it challenges me every day. I love Christianity because this same glorious, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful God challenges me every day. I say, Jordan, I've got another task for you. Let's see what you're going to do with this. And folks, I want to be found faithful every single time. Please sing this song now. If God's speaking to your heart, I encourage you to come. I encourage you to come. This altar is open. If God's dealing with your heart tonight, please come. As we sing, what page, Bill? Page 350. Page 350.
Will be.
Amen.
If any lost one there should cry in despair, you never mention him.
Please help me, Lord.
Alive to see that y'all.
Appreciate your attention today, and I've really enjoyed the entire day. And you just never know what God's going to do. I was, I think about that song we just sang, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me," and I think there's people, there's faces that come to my mind that I blew it with. I mean, I blew it, you know, and I can't go back and change that. But I can change tomorrow, and I can witness to every person that God puts in my path and not allow that to happen again. But occasionally God even, as I said earlier, man, He showers blessings on you. He really does. And earlier today, I was sitting there, I looked up, and I saw a face that a guy I went to high school with, who I blew it with, who I could have been a strong witness to, and I wasn't. And he was sitting back there, and I ate lunch with him today. And talked to him all during lunch about how he turned his life over to Christ in the past few weeks, turned it all over to Him, and how Christ is working in his life. And it's amazing when I sit back and I think, you know, do the best you can, and God will take care of it. Everything I wanted to say in high school, everything I should have said in high school that I didn't get to say, I got to say today. 14 years later, you never know. You really never know. And that's the way God does. That's the way Christ does. He heaps blessings. He'll even pull things that you thought were so far gone, and He'll bring some things back up and help you with that too. And that's what I think of is, the Bible says that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully also will reap bountifully. And the Bible tells us there's a principle to not judge lest you be judged. And He says, whatever measure that you measure to somebody else, will be measured to you again. That works in judgment, and that works in blessings. Here's what I found out. I'm going to share this with you because I wish somebody would have shared it with me a long time ago, and they probably did. I just wasn't listening. But folks, when I give to somebody else, how do I give? Now, I watched Jana measure out flour before. She gets the scoop, and she takes a knife, and she goes right over the top of it. It's just a metaphor. I'm not saying she's stingy. She goes right over the top of it, and she flattens it down exactly. Okay? And she dumps something in. She makes coffee that way too, which I don't really like. When I make coffee, you know what I do? I heap it in there. Okay? I mean, it's a mound. It is. One cup is actually probably 2.5. I mean, I mound it up and drop it in. That's the way. If you want to bless somebody, when somebody needs some help, somebody says, Jordan, can you help me on this? Folks, I want to give them twice what they're asking for. I want to just heap to them. Do you know why? Because I want to heap to me. And God heaps it to me, and I heap it to them, folks. But if I'm real precise about it, say, well, I'm going to give you exactly that or maybe a little bit less. Folks, that's the way I'm going to receive it. And I want to heap blessings to other people. And I want God to heap things to me. Because God, that's the way God gives. That's why it's about fills to overflowing. Folks, it runs over when God gives it. He will run over into the saucer. Michael comes in his song, I'm bringing from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And that's exactly what it is with God. He just pours it to it. He doesn't measure it out. He measures out our sufferings. Folks, He heaps our blessings. He really does. That's His graciousness. But does anyone have anything to say tonight before we wrap up? Amen. Let's pray for Michael. He was over here at the church yesterday.
He wants to come next Sunday.
Wants to come next Sunday. Amen. Let's remember that. Let's remember Michael. For Michael and Nicole.
Is that right?
Okay. And the babies. Donovan and
Devin.
Let's remember them in prayer. Very good to see them yesterday. Yes.
Remember
Vera's dad. For those who don't know, Vera's dad got a bad diagnosis here in the last couple of weeks about Chris's dad. He has Alzheimer's, so he's been having some issues with dementia before, but definitely remember him in prayer. His name's Mike Torello. Also remember Chris and Vera and all her family in prayer as well. Amanda as well, and David. Please do remember them in prayer, because that's a very, very tough situation. So... Bob, amen. I was glad to see Bob last night. That was really good.
He had a good time.
Amen.
Without
exhaustion. I understand. I understand.
God is so good.
Amen. Man, that was good. Good to see Daniel last night, too. Daniel and Amelia, the baby. So that was very good. Good to see him this morning, too. Anybody else? All right.
Lord, I think we need to have prayer over you and
Jonathan.
Amen. That's just because There are things out there, and you really need a hedge around
Amen.
This next 2 weeks.
Amen.
I think we need to do that before we leave tonight.
Amen. Amen. We'll do that before we leave. Anybody else? It's like Nate's got his hand up.
Lots of people are dying this month.
Amen.
And lots of people in their family have died.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And a few weeks ago, or maybe months, there's a baby, there's probably 3 or 2. He loved the environment of his tunnel, and he died.
Amen. Is that Brennan? Maybe? Okay. Amen. Definitely remember Petty family in prayer. Remember Jake's family in prayer too. His Uncle Joe as well, and Jake. And
remember Charles.
Amen. It was Miss Housley too. Remember their whole family in prayer.
Jordan, to me, I'm sure you probably heard the story before. One said a while ago, reminded me of it. It's a couple of mine. About a few years ago, there was a missionary that. And you may even know the story. I don't remember it all. I read the story many years ago. A missionary was traveling in, I believe it was in Africa somewhere. And he had left the town. And he'd make his trip back and forth to get provisions in the town. And he'd go back out into the countryside where he was serving God at. And he had, it's a very, very hazardous place where he was at. A lot of... bees, parrots, whatever you want to call it, all that area. And this is a national event, a national story of something that happened. And how important it is that we lift y'all up while y'all are
gone. Amen.
We don't know what dangers are out there, but we do know that Satan hates you.
Amen.
He despises you. He despises what y'all stand for.
Amen.
He'll do everything he can to bring harm and hurt to you. And this missionary had made the trip into town to pick up a bunch of provisions. And, it was quite a distance back, and I think one or two nights he spent on the road on his way back, or trail on the way back. And he'd build a little campfire, and he'd have his meal there in the evening, sleep there on the ground on his way back to where he was serving. And I believe it was a church out of Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, that was supporting this missionary. And I think it was out of that church, if I'm not mistaken. I did know the name, I apologize, I forget now. But one of the leaders there in the church, one of the elders, had just been heavily burdened with this man. And no relationship, no contacts going on between them during a time when they didn't have the cell phones and things like we got today, even though some countries still have a lot of things that we have here. But had no contact whatsoever. But this man was just completely burdened, overwhelmingly burdened, this man. And he called some men together and asked them to meet in the church and to have prayer for this young man that's on his way back. He didn't know this was going on. He just was burdened for this young man. And this young man was on his way back to his home, and stopped in the middle of the area where he was at, just out in the country, in the wilderness, and had set a little camp up, cooked a little meal with the fire there, and was getting ready to bed down for the night. Went to sleep, slept all night, got up the next morning, picked his stuff up, and went on his way, went on home. And it was probably another year, I don't know how it was, but somehow or other, he come across someone that he had witnessed to through his missionary work and won this man to Christ.
Amen.
This man he won to Christ there in the area where he was at was one of those rebels or one of the parents that was out in the wilderness that was taking everything and actually would kill people to take what they had. And this man came to Christ and he told him the story. He said, you know, I was on this trail and we were following you and we knew that you had these provisions. We were going to take them from you that night. And he said, we gathered them when you got settled down the night. We were going to come in there and take everything you had and actually kill you and leave you there and take what we wanted. And he said, but for some reason, I don't know why, he said, those soldiers that was gathered around you that night scared us off and we chose not to go there. This is a true story.
Amen.
And he said, we started to come into your camp, and there were soldiers gathered around your camp. And we saw them, and we turned and left because we feared for our life. This missionary, another year or two later, was at a place in Chicago at the church. And for whatever reason, he began to reveal the story about this young man that had told him this story. And he was perplexed by it because he didn't understand the story either. And as he began to tell the story about that event, what took place, he also revealed about the time frame that this was. And some of the men began to let this register. And they asked him a question. When was this and what time was it? It was exactly the same time
Amen.
That those men fell on their knees and began to pray.
Amen.
Folks, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
It's urgent. And it's important that we stay on our knees before God.
Amen.
For not just these, but others as well.
Amen.
But especially for these who we're accountable for.
Amen.
And so you all be praying for them the whole time they're gone. They may need an army gathered around them.
Amen.
At some point.
Amen.
And I tell you, there's danger out there.
Amen.
There is serious danger out there. And you all be praying for these men and women as they go on
Amen.
The trip, that God will protect them, give them great, great, great opportunity, and they'll be able to come back with a great testimony of what God's done over there.
Amen.
I just want to
Amen.
That's a true story.
Amen. I've heard that story as well. I think from a different source. So, amen. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, Bridget. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. It's more Jacob's mom and dad in prayer. Amen. Anybody else?
I would like for Katrina to come up with us
Amen.
And pray, because even though she's not going with us, like, we would not be able to go
Amen.
Without Katrina.